Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Jiu-losophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
Jiu-losophy.
How are you doing, my friend?
I am all right. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically well, my friend. Woke up this morning. We are fresh out of lockdown. A vaccine has been authorized to start going out next week.
Yeah, and I think that time off and being able to be back on it, it brings up an opportunity for us to talk about an interesting topic suggested earlier.
I did, yeah. I thought it would be a nice opportunity to talk about setbacks on the mat. So, I guess my question to you is, have you had any setbacks?
Quite a few, I think. Beginning of this year, for example, I injured my shoulder in a competition. It was actually last year. And I literally lost all the fights. I think I had 10 fights. I only won one.
Yeah.
That felt pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because I trained very well for that. I don't know. I think at the moment, mentally, I wasn't there. And the moment I did exactly what I trained, I won. That was the last fight.
Well, what a lesson to learn. I actually remember the fight you got injured in. The guy knew he injured you. He kind of like, it's not like he cranked it, but he put it on. And then when you said, and stopped, he like looked at his coach. Like they knew like what had happened. Like he knew he'd done it. But he was good afterwards. He kind of like shook your hand. He was like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that sort of like, for me, I don't know, like, but to be honest, like, I think it just, the setback was being injured, not mostly the mental part. But yeah, just being injured, not being able to train as hard.
How long did you take like off?
Almost 3 months.
Wow, that is a lot.
Yeah, almost 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you do anything during that time off?
Yeah, I mean, I started doing yoga. Like, I trained a little bit.
Yeah.
But barely. Like, I was, I couldn't spar, really.
Yeah.
And
then when you came back to the mats, what was that like?
I felt like a three-year-old. No, like, I think that the part about when you stop training is you feel rusty, right? So it's like, oh my god, everything is slow. It's more like if you it's almost like your timing is off, your thinking is off, and it takes time to catch up. But everybody didn't stop training waiting for you.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's patterns and movements, isn't it? It's familiarity. And then how long do you think it took before you kind of got back into the old groove?
No, I think like a few weeks.
A few weeks.
Yeah, a few weeks and I was on. I think also one of the things is because I kept training, I slowly adapted here and there to train with the injury. So as I was healing, I kept training. And in a way, it's like, it's not the first time, but I think every time there is an injury, the jiu-jitsu kind of improves because I become slightly more aware.
Right, okay.
Of my body. That's been a history for me about sort of like with jiu-jitsu, sort of just being more aware of what I'm doing. And that, it's like, it's hard not to, right?
Yeah. And then the time you took off, mentally, were you thinking about like the fact you weren't training, or were you not too bothered about it?
Not really. I was just hoping it wasn't a bad injury. Like,
yeah.
I was just hoping like I wasn't going to be hurt for like a long, long time.
Did you get scans or do any rehab on it?
No, because it felt like it was, yeah, I was doing rehab. I was doing the yoga for BJJ, the rehab. Yeah, that was really helpful. Like it healed quite quickly. Like I felt getting it better quickly. Yeah, but I didn't do a scan.
But all good now?
No, all good, all good.
I think injury is probably the biggest thing that sets you back.
Yeah.
Because it is, if it's a bad injury, it literally, there's no other option. You can't train. It takes away your ability to train. Like, I don't know, it could be anything. Knee, shoulder, arm, neck. Like, if you injure yourself so at the point you can't train, there is no other option, really. Like, you can't come on the mats and train effectively. So my whole philosophy around that is like almost like a level of acceptance. If you're off the mat, then there's nothing you can do. in terms of going and actually rolling or sparring or drilling. But what you can do is you can invest a lot in time in getting better. So rehab and exercising and taking care of it.
In a way, I think it's also like not letting get to your head.
That's the biggest thing, right? The mental game, yeah.
So I was saying that I'm not sure if that's my biggest setback. I think my biggest setback was midway through lockdown when I kind of got like a weird, I won't say a weird, I'd say like a new experience, a new way of seeing emotions where they became super overwhelming, got really depressed, and I gained a lot of weight. So one day I'm going for a run and I bump into Luis, our coach. And this was around the time that we could train again, but I was just missing so much. And I am late a few times, but I'm not the one to miss a lot of sessions. So he just bumps into me. He's like, what the fuck, man? It's like you're really looking really round, you know, like really sort of
round.
It's just like started giving me sort of like what's going on, right? And I said, ah, I'm feeling really down. But then it started sort of like get really pissed. Like, how come you get down and you don't tell anyone? You know, that was a big setback, because I feel like that's something that at some point you can't really draw the line. But it's like I let it get to my head, and it's like, oh, it started becoming insecure. I feel like the biggest, it becomes a setback once you let it get there to your head.
Man, 100%. Like, and this obviously is a bit of a sweeping statement, but if you injure your body, for the most part, you can heal it and fix it to a point. Obviously, like, there are some injuries that will never heal completely, but for the most part, like, you can rehab, you can get back on the mats. Like, it's just time, rest, and doing everything. Mentally, that's a maze, that's a labyrinth, like, in terms of understanding that, because it's not as simple as you put it in a cast or you do these strengthening exercises. It's a really complex thing, and like, not to that extent, when I take time off the mats, it really gets in my head in terms of like, I'm not training, other people are training, they're getting better than me, and I can't move, like, I'm stagnant. That's really tough for me, and I have to really focus on the fact that it's like, you can't dwell on that. There's nothing you can do. You have to take time on the mat, invest your energy elsewhere. But the mental game is for sure the hardest bit of it, definitely.
What's the setback that you've had on the mats?
The longest setback I've had, touch wood, was 2 weeks with a sprained foot from an ankle lock, which was really frustrating, because it was just one of those stupid things where it just popped. Like, I was tapping, he was going, and it just, like, was too late, and it popped. So, yeah, I had to take 2 weeks off, and that was a really, really nasty sprain. And that was the first time I'd had time off the mat. So, again, the mental game was really tough in terms of, like, I wanted to get back as quick as possible, but I couldn't. Like, I couldn't, like, bear weight on it. So then it's a case of investing time in, like, the stretching, getting a band, strengthening it up, like, getting back to a point where you're ready.
One thing that someone that's like a specialist in this topic is John, right?
John has taken so much time off the mats, unfortunately, with knee injuries, mostly knee injuries, right?
Yeah, I think.
And knee, his back,
knee, feet, everything. Like, I think it's one of those things where some people have, like, for example, you always get
my fingers.
With your fingers.
My fingers are so messed up.
Yeah. I mean, my fingers have only started getting messed up now.
Really?
Yeah.
My fingers.
And then I can still train with them this messed up.
But my fingers are mostly from you, where I'm grabbing a grip and then you kick the grip free and it pops.
But yeah, like, it's like, I don't know. Some people have different fingers, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so John has, like, the knees of a 80-year-old.
He does, isn't he?
Right?
He's got paper knees.
And one thing I learned from him was that on one of his crossing the street moments, and then his knee just popped. Ah! Is that when he was injured, he would study more. Kind of spend a lot of time watching the videos, tutorial videos, and with a notebook, making notes, and thinking and visualizing. And that's one thing that I started integrating.
Yeah,
that after injuries were gone, I spent more time.
That's really interesting. I do remember when first lockdown hit and John was like, yeah, you're all playing my game now. Because we were all really nervous, like, time away from the mats, we're going to, like, lag behind. And he was really good in the case, like, nah, you, like, it's so inflated in your own mind, it's not that impactful. It's impactful, but it's not as bad as you're making out. Like, it's not that you just completely forget jiu-jitsu. Yes, you'll lose some of the sharpness, and yes, you'll feel a bit rusty, but it's not as highly impactful as you think. Because I think for some, like, he really did take a long time off to heal his knees.
Yeah, and like, if you think, and his ankle, I think.
Like, I don't think he's trained naturally all this year, but he also injured it right at the start. Mm. Like, back in January, him and I were sparring, and his knee popped. Like, he just wrapped it round. I went to push it down, and it just popped. And I think he had a torn something, like a meniscus or something like that. But then it's that time away that he's got to rehab it, he's got to invest in it. And I think he's good now, but then with lockdown hitting as well, that is a long time away. But he was good in that way of reinforcing, like, it's never as bad as you think it will be.
And on that subject of, like, not letting get to your mind, I think one of the things is that this is the hardest thing. It's like, you know how in Alcoholics Anonymous, they have that prayer? What's it called? Sobriety prayer or something like that, where they say, God, give me the strength to focus on what I can control.
Yeah.
And let go of the things I cannot control or something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's really it, right? It's like
accepting
that it's okay, I can't control it. What can I control?
Yeah.
And what can I do? What's the best that I can do with what I can control?
I've always objectively found myself quite good at that. If I can affect it, fine. If I can't, then I'm usually quite good at letting go of it. But injury is the one instance where I'm not great at it. How are you with it? Are you?
I think I'm good and bad. I think like most, I get pissed. Not necessarily with injury.
Right.
But I get pissed with, like, frustration in training.
If you're not getting something, or yeah, understanding, if you don't
get it, it's like, ah! Right? Like, sort of. And then thinking about it, and I think you mentioned this about, for example, doing one move you've never done your whole life.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And you're annoyed that you don't know.
You're like, ah, man. It's like, so it's almost like I am creating a setback that is not there.
Yeah.
Right? Because of just unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
But with injury, maybe because I've never faced anything huge, you know, I think the thing that scared me was, like, maybe, like, emotions. I think it's a weakness to, like, sit with emotions calmly, whatever comes, you know, remain with equanimity. That's, like, really hard. So maybe that's, like, whoa, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, that right would now? Rock you for sure. Yeah. For sure.
I'd say that's my weakness. In terms of strength, is there's a book by a guy who was in a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
Viktor Frankl.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote like a memoir, like, talking about what he learned and stuff. And pretty much they killed his whole family. And a few days before leaving, like, escaping, fleeing to the States, when everybody was getting caught and taken to the gas chambers, he made the decision, I'm going to stay and I'm going to take care of my parents. But then all the family got separated. So he says he's inside this place and everybody's just like, it's just in despair, right? And a few things that managed to keep them going. One was sense of humor. People try to make jokes out of that situation. And that really stuck with me. Like, I always try to look for the funny.
Yeah.
In the moment, no matter how bad. Sometimes it's really inappropriate. It's like really bad. It's not a time for jokes, but.
So I think in terms of other setbacks, like frustrations that you don't understand something, that you're not getting somewhere, like plateaus, I think can be seen as frustrations where you feel like your progress, or you just feel like you're not progressing. Like, and sometimes you can feel like you're going backwards as well. Like, an example might be you get really good at one thing, you move on, you don't get that thing, and then you haven't drilled the thing you're really good at, so you go back to when you're not good. That can, like, build up this whole thing of, like, I'm rubbish, I'm not, like, going forward. Ross Nichols, we were speaking to, and he was like, just understand that everyone has been there, everyone has done that. He still feels like those things, and he's, like, considered a top-level athlete. It's I think it's just pushing through. It's having the faith that it will come around, right? Peaks and troughs. Sometimes you feel like you're getting everything, it's all coming together. Some days you really feel like you're not getting it. It's cyclical, I think. You will always get these like little peaks, these little troughs. I think in terms of a bigger picture, if you're always turning up, if you're always working, if you're always progressing in that way, you will get better.
You know what I'm remembering? We're drilling a technique. So there's something I've been drilling on my own. And I was like, hey, I'm finally getting this position right. And I was trying to force the position even when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So that was perhaps feeling like a setback, feeling, why am I not getting this position?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, man, the point is not to get this position. The point is to pass the guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
get to the submission.
I do exactly the same. I fixate or I focus on something and like I insist upon it when it's not there. And like coach was watching, he's had a chance to watch me and Ugly Billy more and like observe our styles. And he's like, you insist. Like, and I think it's because of the whole like strength thing. Mm-hmm. Like if I have something and it's getting away, I don't have the knowledge to move from one position to the other. And then I will insist on that one position and it gets me into trouble. Whereas Billy is a lot more fluid. Mm. He moves from one to the other. But as he was saying the other day, sometimes that ties him up in knots.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to do too much. He's trying to be too clever. He's moving from one to the other. So it was really interesting to see like coach, like looking at our styles and comparing them, because there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of big differences in the like the core fundamentals.
Mm.
And I think that's a big thing in terms of letting something go or having the confidence, which comes with knowledge.
Yeah, we usually drill takedowns together.
Mm.
So it's like you have the grips, I have the grips, and we both hold on to whatever yeah. grip we have. But it's like in reality, if we were trying to play, change grips and get yeah. it, as Jeremy says, muddy
the water. Canvas. Yeah, just yeah. throw some stuff in
just
there.
Destroying whatever is there. But it's like, this is what I want. This is what I got to get.
Well, the thing is, if you get really good at something, can you go up a guy that has the answer? Like he just shuts that down. That can also be a really scary place to be, where yeah. it's like, well, I've just given you my best and it's like it's come up against a brick wall.
One thing that in training I've been feeling like is a setback. It's there are certain things when you train with the same people over and over and over.
Yeah.
They get on to it.
Yeah.
Right?
They figure it out.
Exactly. That's yeah. one thing. The other thing is there are things that you find out first.
Yeah.
And then everybody finds out eventually.
Yeah. What's that meme where it's like when coach is showing the defense to your favorite move? The guy's just crying.
Think about when was the last time you were caught in a straight ankle lock?
Ooh. Good question.
That's a while back.
I think Bill got me with one. Yeah, but like it was a while ago.
Yeah. It's like there was one time when I remember when I learned ankle locks. I caught you on a few.
All the time.
And
you all
were
the
like,
time.
How? What is happening? And like now it's like, it's almost like you can even let someone get you there. You know how to escape.
So true. Here's why that's brilliant. You catch me in ankle locks all the time. It frustrates me so much that then I go and find out how to avoid even getting in ankle locks. And that's another development to my game. Like when I started rolling with Neighbor, Piers, mm-hmm. he would just knee cut me like nonstop and like I just didn't have an answer. So then it's straight to the books, like how to defend the knee cut pass. And it forced me to get really good at defending that thing. Like not really good, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean? Like better.
Better, yeah. I mean, for example, right now one of the things is you've been focusing so much on knee cuts.
Yeah.
And my half guard is garbage. Right? It's not necessarily that it's garbage, but it's like a new question to my half guard.
Yeah.
So literally like throughout the day, I find myself thinking, okay, I close the half guard. It's going to open with his hand.
Mm.
It's going to go for my head. If I stretch my arm, it's like all yeah. like always thinking. And
which is developing your game. Exactly. Right?
And at some point that frustration of, because the thing is also if I pull another guard, yes, I'll improve on something else. But my thing is like, it's almost like insisting, like
yeah.
I want
yeah.
to make sure that with this person who found out my trick,
yeah.
how do I catch them, right?
Well, I think one thing that is never or should never be viewed as a setback is a guy besting you in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That should never be seen as,
especially
as a setback.
In training.
Especially in training. Competition, I understand. Like, that's frustrating. On the day you needed to win, you didn't. Like, that's frustrating. But, you know, you still will learn. Like, if that guy shut down your game, you, if you don't go away and figure out why, then that's a failure on your part. But it's not a setback if you then go and figure out, okay, I was doing this, he presented this, which was better. What's the answer? How do I improve? How do I get better? Which is why it's so important to roll with higher belts, with more experienced people, with higher level people. And I guess that's transferable to anything. Like, so often in life, do we not get tested? Do we do we just go along grading ourselves? Like, thinking, even if it's like work or a hobby or whatever, jiu-jitsu is a platform, and especially with our coach, where he looks at you and goes, no, you are, like, that is not good enough. You are not there. Like, do not get complacent. Do not think that you are, like, on this level, because you're not. And I can easily pick four or five guys that are going to show you. And that is just phenomenally brilliant and honest and open. And, you know, you can't hide from that. Like, I think that's one of the best things about jiu-jitsu. You can't hide from a guy choking you. Like, you can give all the excuses you want, but he still choked you. Nowhere else, really, do I think in life, do you have that same level of honest and open critique, where there's not a lot of argument that can go on.
And it's like, I think the thing we pretty take in person is, like, it's not really about you. It's like, no, it's about not. If you work harder, like, to understand what's going on, next time it will probably not happen.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you can't just get better by hoping and wishing and praying. Like, you got to put that time in, you got to put that effort in. And again, I think so easy when you take on anything in life to get complacent and to think, like, okay, I can just sit comfortably in this position. Again, jiu-jitsu forces you on a regular basis to be uncomfortable, to you know, get pushed and get challenged. Like, I think that's a huge thing with our coach. He's like, it's almost like he never ever wants you to feel any ounce of comfort, which is just non-stop on edge, like, be ready.
In a way, also, like, jiu-jitsu itself, it's like the idea that you can fight from your back or from a bad position up to the top. It's in a way a metaphor to how to deal with setbacks, right? Sort of, you get your position. As long as you're not out completely of the fight, the fight is still going on. It doesn't matter how bad it's looking right now.
Yeah,
all you need is just that moment where you get your right grips, and you get your sweep, and then you're on top and you stabilize your position. You move calmly, like, progressing. And that's really interesting. One thing that you said is also, like, measuring yourself. A lot of times it's I find, like, some people tend to almost like I don't know if it's almost like see themselves bigger than they actually are. Others tend to see themselves as smaller than they actually are.
Well, yeah. Was Coach talking about this? He was like, if you're surrounded by mediocre people and you're the best of the mediocre group, you're still mediocre. Let's take playing the guitar, right? You start learning, you play the guitar, you're rubbish. You stick at it, you can play a few songs. If you play all the songs you ever wanted to know, like, have you finished? Like, is that it? Like, you've got to the point you wanted to, but, like, do you stop? Like, jiu-jitsu, I think, is the whole premise of it is that, like, what's finished? Like, finished doesn't exist. Like, you may get to a point where you've achieved the black belt, you know enough to teach, you know, you can converse with other people on it, but, like, are you done? Like, when do you, like, it's kind of hard to explain to someone until they do it, but when you do it, it kind of really makes sense. That there's no, like, shake hands, you're done.
Yeah, and you get to the top and you sit there and you're like, yes, I made it.
Exactly.
Look at me.
You may achieve everything you set out to achieve, but it's almost like, then what? Like, you hang up your belt and, like, you finish. It's not like you just leave it. Like, how many guitars do you see, like, in a cupboard or an attic or collecting dust? Like, jiu-jitsu feels more ingrained to be forever.
That's a tricky one. Do you think, like, sometimes it's like, it's almost like it's a mindset that we've been trained to believe, like, sort of, you are good at football, for example, and then sort of, like, you go stick in this box, and once you may, or like, for example, you go from school to get a job, and then you get a job, and sort of, like, there is a ladder You got to your position, you made it almost.
Yeah, I do. I mean, no one wants to be rubbish at something, mm-hmm. do they? Like, who wants to consistently be considered bad at something?
No, I meant like more sort of the idea of making it, getting there, and it's over.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I suppose with I suppose it's different to everyone. Mm. It is how you view mm. success. Like you were saying, you go to school, you get a job. Like, some people don't want to go to university, they don't want to get a traditional 9-to-5 job, they want to do other things. I guess the real complex bit is how do you consider success? What is considered in your eyes good? Mm. Because objectively we are, I guess, all conditioned and trained to give a rating to something.
Mm.
You know, progression at work, mm. that's usually like you're doing well. You know, if you set out to achieve something and you get it, that's usually considered doing well. Like, okay, you're good. But I suppose the point is that so many people walk away from stuff. That's, I guess, the bit that's like, did they walk away because they didn't think they were good, or did they walk away because they got to the point they were happy and walked away? Like,
mm.
there's the dichotomy of why, I guess, you leave something.
That's true. I mean, it's with jiu-jitsu is quite interesting. Also, the idea that a setback is almost like invisible in the grand scheme of things, yeah. of like your whole journey of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, you have a problem with the knee cut today. What is that gonna mean exactly, in 10 years? Yeah. You're gonna train so much.
Yeah. My friend was talking to me about it. This is such a random analogy, but he was talking about Bitcoin. Mm. And he was using this principle that like a massive spike in the long run could be insignificant. Mm. He's like, we might be looking at just the tiny blip on an otherwise exponentially massive growth. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. When you're stuck in the middle of something, it seems like a big deal. But like you're saying, if you look at jiu-jitsu in terms of a life journey, that one little moment on that one day, it could have a long lasting effect. It could influence your whole game, or it could just be part of the process.
Yeah, it can be like a small the problem is it's always easier said once you've crossed that moment, then you're like, that was nothing.
Yeah. I suppose, why do you think it's so hard sometimes for people to come back from a setback?
I think first is mentally, right?
I think yeah. so, yeah. I think so.
Also it's first is mentally, then it's also I think the environment, sort of the people around, right? Because that counts a lot. I mean, there is a difference between you have a setback alone, you know, and you don't have, I won't say support, because, I mean, at the end, it's up to you, right?
Yeah.
But it does make a difference at times, depending on the setback as well. It does make a difference. Imagine if you have, even if it's the opposite, someone who is the only person in his group of friends or anything that trains jiu-jitsu, and he hurts himself. For some people, the opinion of others is really important in certain things.
Mm.
And if now you can't go to your friend's birthday, you can't do all these things, and everybody's like, you have to stop training this, you have to stop training this, maybe you might stop training this, you know?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and the third, I think it's also how much the bug of jiu-jitsu has bitten you. Like, how hard was the bite? Because depending on how hard is the bite, you could literally show up to the gym in crutches and just sit there and watch the whole thing, right?
You could do. But, I mean, that's the thing that I guess we're going to struggle with. If we're this passionate about it, it's difficult to understand someone who doesn't have the passion for it. But you do see it, right? You do see a lot of people just fade away, just not want to do it for that long. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they can't believe that they will get there. Maybe because they can't see it, they're not prepared to just, you know, put the work in and long it out and get there.
You know, one thing that our coach talks a lot about, I'm reading a book, man. This is so unrelated. it's we actually spoken about this. Werner Herzog.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And his amount of determination to make his projects happen is insane.
Should we give a little quick intro on who Werner Herzog is?
Yeah, so Werner Herzog is a German filmmaker. He's seen the downfall of the Berlin Wall, and I think that kind of adds a lot to his personality in terms of seeing many things in the, like seeing the old Germany and the new one.
Yeah.
And he has a movie where they carried a boat.
A whole boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like a little rowboat.
Yeah.
Like a boat.
Yeah, like a huge boat, like a ship across a mountain. And they did not want to use special effects.
Yeah.
They had zero budget and they had to make it go across a mountain.
That's the kind of insight into the type of man and director he is. Yeah. He also wrote like a polemic, I guess, like a statement of what you need to do to be a film director, which included things like always carry bolt cutters with you. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
If you have to sleep in jail to take the shot, take the shot.
Take the shot, yeah.
So it's kind of like a very hardcore, I'm going to make this happen regardless of what happens or not.
Which has produced incredible results, I should say. If anyone is interested in Werner Herzog, there is a film called The Art of Killing.
Yeah.
I won't go into too much detail, but essentially he... I'm forgetting the country now. I want to say Rwanda.
Philippines.
Is it Philippines?
I think so.
Essentially, he goes to a country which experienced like an atrocious like civil uprising, where a group of people, part of like a military, committed some horrendous crimes against the people of the country. And he finds the people who committed those crimes and he gets them to reenact the scenes in different genres, so like westerns, gangster films, and the people who play the other parts are actual victims or family members of the victims of the people that these horrible men,
criminals
did the crimes to. So you have this just fascinatingly morbid, horrendous scenario where these guys who have absolutely zero remorse for the crimes they committed are reenacting in a film setting the actual acts they committed to the people that they did it to or to the family members that were there. It's almost hard to believe until you watch it. But that's the kind of film director he is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, who would have the balls, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet he has made this and it has been turned into a film and no one can sit through that and watch it and go, that was not one of the most like hard hitting, emotionally engaging things I've ever seen.
And it's also his conviction in knowing who he is. Sort of like, these are the movies I make. Sort of, I don't remember what the movie is, but apparently the crowd did not like it.
Oh, really?
In one of the biggest film festivals. I think it was at Cannes. So everybody booed the movie. He stands up, goes to the back, sort of where he can see everyone, starts screaming, "You are all wrong. You are wrong," and walks out. Years later, this movie is like put on a pedestal and everything.
Which one was it?
I can't remember. It's some movie that he filmed volcanoes in an area where like apparently like people are struggling to live there, right? Because of the volcano. So they're like, you're glamorizing people suffering.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you guys don't get it. You're all wrong. That.
If anyone wants a more entry level to Werner Herzog, you can watch the one with the bag, like a bag in the wind.
Yeah.
If you just Google like bag in the wind, Werner Herzog, they filmed a bag blowing in the wind and Werner Herzog narrates it pretending to be the bag.
That's pretty much it. But in a nutshell.
How are we going to loop this back?
One of the things he was talking about with setbacks is that he had a movie in the jungle. First time he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
He has zero budget. He was saying that movie was literally made on like, for me to get breakfast for the crew, I had to leave at 4 a.m. in a boat, cross the river, walk miles. I got there, sold my shoes so I could come back with some eggs and bread and rice to make the movie. Meanwhile, the main actor, he's like a crazy guy.
Yeah.
He's like, one night people were making a noise next to his tent.
Yeah.
So he takes out a rifle and he shoots at the people, like sort of at the extras. He almost kills someone.
Wow.
So he confiscates the rifle and he tells this actor, "If you don't finish filming this film, I will kill you."
Oh my God.
Right? But it's like, he was like, of course I was not going to kill him.
Yeah.
But that is the amount of determination that I had to make this happen. I was not going to, like, on the set, I didn't eat when there was enough food. I sold my shoes. Wow. I sold my soap. I sold anything. But till the end, I was going to make this happen. No matter, in like, this guy was a brilliant actor, but he was a crazy man. And I was going to make this happen. And I think many times is with setbacks, I guess that's a big part of it. It's like, things are bad right now, but I am going to make this happen.
Yeah.
I'm here to train jiu-jitsu with one foot, with two feet. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll take it at my pace right now.
And turn that into anything. Like, again, how often do you see people apply that in any other aspects of their life and say, it is an ironclad determination. That story you've told me just reminds me of, I think Bear Grylls does the French Legion.
Mm.
So he goes off and trains in the desert with the French Legion. And they had interviews from ex-members who said, like, by the time I did the final, like, exam, let's say, mm-hmm. which was just a horrendous feat of, like, determination. I think they get, like, sleep deprived, they're up for days on end. They have to just trek across a desert. He said by the end, his feet were almost, like, just bloody stumps of a mess. He was like, I had made the decision, I will either finish or I will die. They were my two options.
Wow.
And you have to believe him. Like, I know it seems like maybe hyperbole to say, and yet you look at this man and his conviction, and you have to believe that he had made that choice. I will die or I will finish. Now, we're not training to be elite special forces army people, but I do think you can take an element of that. Like, how often has anyone, either us, people we know, or anyone listening to this, made that decision that they will do something?
You know what I remember?
Go for it.
Punked Kanye West.
We were talking about this, weren't we? With the Kanye West episode of Punked, where they shut down his video, and he's like, I'll go gorilla style. He's like, I don't care. We'll shoot this. Like, this will be in the movie.
He runs away with the footage. Yeah. He runs away. As sometimes, like, there are moments of Kanye West that are very questionable. Yeah. That one is like an insane moment of determination.
It's brilliant.
They could not punk it.
Yeah.
They could not punk it.
He's unpunkable.
It's quite a feat, right? Like, but it is all in the mind.
100%. What was that other thing as well about, like, Royal Marines, that are like, as soon as your brain starts telling you to quit, you're at 40% of your capacity or something. That's the whole mentality they have.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear that voice, you've got 60% at least.
One thing I think I've learned this year is that it's no matter what happens, it's to move forward.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how bad it gets, to move forward. And it's like moving forward without comparing to anybody else. It's like, literally, this is where I am today.
Yeah.
Till tomorrow, I'm going to give one step forward, and then another one, and then another one. Yeah. And, I mean, each step, depending on the person, takes... I mean, for someone who's injured, right, like, that might be a lot.
Yeah, man. I mean, realistically, we're in a sport where an injury that can put you out for a year is not out of the realms of possibility. Like, it really isn't. A bad knee injury can keep you out for a year easily. So as soon as that happens, you're playing a whole different game. A whole different game. John, I will, you know, to his credit, has had two major knee injuries and come back and trained. Like, to have that time away from the mat and then come back, it does show a level of commitment and a level of, like, resolute focus that he will come back. But it's hard. Definitely.
One thing actually we were talking about the other day. You mentioned this. You're saying, like, I simplify things right now. Just weights, jiu-jitsu,
yeah,
work, social life. Right? Like, in a sense of, sometimes I think having too many things can also be, even though, like, a lot of things that are very good things can also become, like, a distraction, because at least, like, there's, like, less energy to expend.
I'm very objective in the way that I approach things, like, and it's through trial and error. So I will try it, and if it works, I'll keep it, I'll tweak it, and I'll adapt it. But if I work and it doesn't work, then I'm quite, not cutthroat, but let's take the example of my schedule. Like, I basically boil it down to work, because I need to earn the money to live and eat and pay rent, social. So seeing you, I consider this social, recording mm-hmm. this podcast social, seeing other people when we're not in lockdown and we're allowed, jiu-jitsu and weights. And that's it. Because those four things basically consume my time. Mm-hmm. And every time I add something else into that, it becomes a stress and something has to go. And I've tried to do other things and then it's taken away from something like, let's say, jiu-jitsu, and I've really not liked it. So then I've just objectively looked at it and made the decision that those are my focus areas. I'm going to invest as much time as I physically can into jiu-jitsu, the gym. I have to work. And then the social element is important because you can't sway things too much in the other way. Mm. There are so many other things that I always think in the back of my mind I'd love to do. I'd love to get better at like video editing, mm. animating. I'd love to shoot my own films. I'd love to, I don't know, go off and do all these things. But there's no point dreaming about those things if I don't have the physical time. And the only way I can make that time is to take something away from the other things. And actually my balance right now is really good. Mm. So kind of going to the decision that is... That's my allocated time. And it's not exactly like I just came up with it. Like, it has been a case of like, I
was
observing it and just being analytical about it and thinking like, actually, I can't do this many gym sessions, or I can't see this person and do jiu-jitsu. I have to make a decision. And that's the tricky thing when you have to take one for the other. That's getting that balance is hard. But what I don't do is dwell too much on the stuff that I could be doing, but realistically have no time to do. I don't know, it works for me.
That is beautiful. I love it. I love it.
But then I do see people that just do a load of I guess they try a lot of everything and they don't plan as much. Like, I'm quite a planner and they just kind of go with a load of stuff and they're a bit more freer as well. Like, they kind of get invited to somewhere and they go.
I find that hard. Like, for example, I know that naturally I'm more of like a free go everywhere.
Right, exactly.
So, but I have to put these boundaries to myself. Yeah. Otherwise, like, just don't get anything done.
And the other thing is sometimes I romantically look at that and think like, oh yeah, like if it was just someone rings me up and we go do something and it's spontaneous and I go into a weekend, like maybe not having plans, and I ring a mate and we do something and there's this kind of like, you know, romantic nature of like, then we go off and we find something and it was like the crazy most unplanned night. And then the reality is like, nah. For me at least, I like to know that like I'm getting my allotted jiu-jitsu, gym and social time in.
I think like in for me, what I notice is like, as much as I sort of like, there is a limit where planning too much also, because it's not my nature.
Yeah,
it becomes like way too much and it's like becomes dead.
Yeah.
So there is a point where I have to leave space for that freedom of nothingness. You know, like
nothingness, which is also important to stop and do nothing, to be happy in that nothing moment.
Yeah. You mentioned like the other day you were just watching TV and you had a moment where you just went full zen, right?
Yeah, right. So I've noticed this. Sometimes I will just sit there and there will be nothing in my head. And you do meditation. Mm-hmm. And isn't that like the whole goal?
Yeah, that's kind of
it. Right. So it's not like I try and do it. It's just sometimes I'm sitting there. And to give an example, I was with this girl and she was like, what's wrong? Like, you look so grumpy. Like, is everything okay? And I was like, I'm actually perfect. It was just nothingness in my mind. It's just, yeah.
It's interesting, you know, talking of nothing, this is really hard. The thing that I find really hard is doing mindful meditation while you're doing something moving.
Mm.
I've been trying to do this with jiu-jitsu, but it's like, grab the lapel. Oh, you know, it's like, it's really hard. It's really hard to do, like, to be present.
That's so, yeah.
When things are happening.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole flow thing. That's like, when you're there. And,
so you know? A concept that I really struggle with is like almost not trying in jiu-jitsu, like you being so confident in the technique and having it down that you're just observing and then you're reacting to what you see as opposed to enforcing. I like to try and enforce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas
I know.
Whereas coaches, like, you missed this opportunity, you didn't see this, you didn't see that, you almost blinkered, and I'm not sure if that maybe comes with time of like trusting your own jiu-jitsu. Like, I'm very early on in this. There is still so much that needs to be like reinforced and perfected. But it is that almost like, there have been some times where I've come in, I've been so tired and thought like, I just don't have the energy to like out muscle this guy. I'm just going to go with it. And it's almost like that like relaxed, like just responsive nature can be so much better than the kind of like 100% I'm going to just like butt heads
I'm
with you.
Smash.
Yeah.
That's it's something, man. Like, you notice, like, I think it was Bouchesh himself. Mm. He was talking about how he won, I think, when he was about to beat the record with 13 wins or something like that. As Bouchesh is the world champion, the most decorated world champion in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And he, I think, the record of most wins prior to him was 10 in a row.
Right.
By Roger Gracie, so he's going to do the 13th. And he said that he had an injury a year before. He never felt pressure before that competition to win.
Yeah.
He was just there like, I'm just going to win from fight to fight. And I'm just going to be there. But this is the first time where it became this big thing about, yeah, I am going to beat all the records. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I'm not so sure if I can move the way I used to move.
Yeah,
it's my first competition post this. So he said, a lot of the fights, he didn't want win the way that he used to win, which was, he was coming back from a setback, finally getting back, and he was sort of holding back a little bit here and there, until the point where when he won, he was like, yes, I won, but it didn't feel right because it was so much pressure. And yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, Cyborg talks about when he fights, he doesn't plan anything. He just turns up and just goes with it. Like, I'm thinking, if high-level athletes can do it, surely we cannot get stressed out about like some London, like half-baked competition.
Yeah, but I think it's also like being there, right? Like, think about like how many things you start thinking about. Oh, I stopped doing this to come here. Like all these small thoughts, right? About like, oh, my teammates are here, rather than
just fight. Just okay. Do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. At some point, there was a conversation about setback.
You come to expect nothing less from Jiu-losophy.
Well, we are very happy to have you here with us.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
And we look forward to chat with you next week. Leave a comment on our Instagram at Jiu-losophy.
Yeah, do. Feedback is always greatly appreciated.
Cool.
And let us know if there's anything you want to talk about.
Sure. Guys, stay safe in these streets.
Oops.